Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Charchian is one of the best fantasy football guys out there. He's an expert. You can listen to his podcast, Fantasy Football Weekly, and CHOP wherever you get your podcasts. He is at Paul Charchian on X, so follow him there. And he's with me in one of his many radio hits that he does entering an NFL weekend, Thursdays at 11. Hey, I've got a quick question for you, and it's not fantasy related, but Washington picked up KJ Osborne off of waivers yesterday.
Yep,
and
call.
I mentioned, because you know that I am a fan of Kirk, and I've watched, you know, a lot of KJ Osborne with Kirk in Minnesota. He was a really productive receiver there.
Yep, pure slot receiver. He was productive. He's a guy, you know, he'll catch what's thrown to him. I found it odd that he was just at the bottom of this weird rotation that the Patriots have, but I wouldn't let his lack of productivity with the Patriots taint your view for him. In fact, I swear, around the trade deadline, you and I talked through possible candidates because I so much wanted your team to get another receiver, and I thought I brought his name up is because he was one of those guys you could get for basically free. And he was languishing with the Patriots. And I'm like, KJ Osborne makes sense for your team. And so, yeah, I would not be surprised to see him contributing to this team. Not like this week, but, you know, at some point down the stretch, you're going to the playoffs, and I think he'll be a contributor for you. I think it's a really, really savvy pickup.
Yeah, they lost Noah Brown pretty much for the rest of the year. He had a kidney issue from the previous game, and he had actually been fairly productive for them and been their number two wide receiver behind Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Number three overall in terms of receptions and yardage with Ertz being second. So, yeah, I mean, I looked it up. He did play primarily in the slot. Well, not primarily, but, you know, close to half of his snaps in the slot when he was in Minnesota. But I always found him to be a tough guy, willing to block in the run game, too.
Yeah. He's a good all-around player. And I don't know why the Patriots just didn't use him more. And, the Patriots paid him pretty well to come there. So, yeah, when I look at your depth chart and I look at, okay, do you have like a true slot receiver in Washington? And I don't feel like you do until now. I feel like he can walk in, and I know Olamide Zaccheaus plays from that spot a fair amount, but I feel like KJ Osborne is just more of a natural slot guy who can walk in and give you some reps there.
Yeah, the guy that we think, you know, has a chance to be decent is Luke McCaffrey. He gets really good separation. Yeah. He just hasn't been targeted that much by Jaden this year for some reason. But he's a pretty good route runner. He's got good size. He's played in the slot primarily. Maybe they signed KJ Osborne, Denton, because they're going to move Luke outside a little bit more. I think he's versatile enough to do that. All right, we've got Charch, and we've got a Thursday night game. And by the way, it's got ramifications in the NFC. The 49ers could, with a win, be right back in this thing at 7-7. But I can't remember a team going through running backs like they have. What number on the depth chart are they on right now for tonight's game, running back-wise?
Christian McCaffrey's dead. Elijah Mitchell dead. Jordan Mason dead. Isaac Garendo lasted one full game, less than one full game, as the 49ers starter, and then he got a foot injury. Now, Garendo did not practice all week, but Kevin, they say he's going to try to play tonight. And that, from a fantasy standpoint, this turns into a very dangerous situation. I mean, Garendo, who, by the way, and I don't expect you to know his whole college career arc here, but constantly hurt Wisconsin, transfers to Louisville, gets longer run, gets hurt there too, just constantly injured. So this is nothing new for him. So the way I'm approaching Garendo tonight from a fantasy standpoint, if you're an underdog and you need some magic, I would start Garendo. We saw what he can do on a full game last week, 120 total yards, 2 touchdowns. I would play him. If you're a favorite, then I would try to see if you don't have a safer angle, somebody who obviously is healthy and, you know, you don't have to sweat potentially, you know, any winning play being his last. The sneaky angle here, Kevin, might be at running back, Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, he's about the only one healthy playing. I mean, you know, you look at the injury report, it's unbelievable. I mean, Brock Purdy was 20 of 25 last week. With all the injuries at running back, they just started throwing the ball, and you can do that against the Rams. So I'm assuming Purdy's high up in your rankings for week 15.
Yeah, I've got him at quarterback 12, and I do think we're going to get a lot more passing. I mean, Kyle Shanahan doesn't generally want to pass the Niners. Right. For all the trouble they've had at running back, they rank 28th in passing plays per game. But given Garendo's problems, the fact that he's not healthy, that behind him, they go all the way down to Patrick Taylor, practice squad guy, and really just a special teamer, that I think they're going to emphasize the passing game. And Deebo Samuel, both on the ground, he had 5 rushes last week, more than any game since the opener, and through the air, Deebo Samuel might be a sneaky good start here too.
Don't you think, this is actually now not, I don't think, applicable, but I think if you even go back a half of this season, I think Puka Nacua is very under-discussed, underrated when it comes to being an elite receiver, which I think he is. Do you think he is?
He's the second-best fantasy receiver. He is one of the 5 best receivers in the NFL, and you're right. People don't talk to him. It's, you know, right now, Ja'Marr Chase is there. Justin Jefferson is in that conversation for sure. CeeDee Lamb, through no fault of his own, normally in that conversation, but given the quarterbacking problems that they've got in Dallas, I don't think he's in that conversation anymore either. I mean, Puka Nacua to me, right there. I think the list ends there. Amon-Ra St. Brown, I would put into that list. AJ Brown, maybe. Nico Collins.
What about Terry?
I think he's tier 2, but, you know, I don't think he's quite at that level yet. But, yeah, that's, you know, Terry's, and from a fantasy standpoint, Terry's a great, 6th highest scoring fantasy player, which, you know, we love what he's done from a fantasy standpoint. And Terry is great, but I don't think he's in the conversation with Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson.
I agree.
Puka is amazing.
I agree with you. He's bigger than most people understand he is. His hands, I mean, he doesn't drop anything. He catches everything. He's a great hands catcher. And then he's really physical, you know, once he has the ball in his hands. I think he's special. And with him and Kupp and Atwell and, Robinson, these guys healthy, the Rams are really explosive on offense.
Rams are going to be, you know, this is a team, my Vikings are going to get to the playoffs. Your Commanders are going to get to the playoffs. I don't want the Rams in the playoffs. I am rooting for the 49ers to deliver an L here. I don't want to see Puka Nacua in the playoffs with Matthew Stafford, a seasoned playoff veteran. And Cooper Kupp, I don't want any part of that. Kyren Williams, no thank you. That's not a team I want to I want to go up against. So from that standpoint, and I think you should feel the same way if you, you know, as Commander fans, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that they're chasing down that 7 seed, which Washington holds right now, but they're also chasing down an NFC West title. They finished the season with Seattle, mm-hmm. and they've already beaten them once. So they've got a shot to win the division as well. But yeah, we'd like to see, you know, Seattle run away with it and the other NFC West contenders, you know, limp in with 9-8 records or 8-9 records so that there's no real push for, you know, Washington, right. I think we think can get to 10. You know, two out of the last four, three out of the last four is not impossible, and that would lock it down. And I think 10, they win a lot of the tiebreakers. By the way, real quickly, this name is going to be unfamiliar to most NFL fans, but you wrote me a note to ask you, who the heck is Sincere McCormick, and are you really starting him in the fantasy football playoffs if you're in those?
And the answer is yes, you probably are. And in every year, there's some guy who just sort of emerges out of the woodwork.
Usually a running back, right?
It is usually a running back because they get hurt so often and then guys appear. And last year, the guy was another Raider, Zamir White, just like Sincere McCormick, for those wondering where he plays. He's your new starter. Antonio Pierce has said that his plan is to finish the season with Sincere McCormick as his lead back. And he's averaging 5.5 yards per carry, double what Alexander Mattison and Zamir White were giving, combined about half of that number. And he's looked, honestly, pretty good. He's got a Atlanta team that's just on the ropes right now. The Falcons have the stench of death on them right at this time. And you know, we saw Aaron Jones score against Atlanta last week. They're giving up almost 5 yards per carry over the past 6 games. It's a nice opportunity. Sincere McCormick is a fantasy flex guy.
You know what it also says, and I think most fans know this, is that running back is the easiest position to sign somebody and play somebody immediately. Mm-hmm. You know, it's much harder with almost every other position. Running back, when we see this with young running backs, it doesn't take long for young running backs to play. They play right away. And their shelf life tends to be, you know, short as well. But Sincere McCormick, yeah, that's his first name, played at UTSA. He is the running back right now, the lead running back in Vegas, where I have no idea who the starting quarterback for Vegas will be on Monday night. Seemed like it was going to be Desmond Ridder, but maybe Aiden O'Connell is going to be ready anyway. Yeah. So tell me about our game.
Let me mention this.
Yeah.
And I do want to talk about your game in a second, but I'm going to hit you with some people, other people besides Sincere McCormick, with adjectives for first names. Sterling Sharp.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Of course.
A phenomenal career.
I think there's a debate for him to be in the Hall of Fame.
There is. When his brother went in the Hall of Fame, he said, I'm the only guy in the Hall of Fame who has a brother that's better than him. And he's right. Sterling Sharp was unbelievable, and it just neck injury, that ended it. How about Major Garrett, CBS News White House correspondent?
I thought you were going to say Major Ogilvy, Alabama running back. I remember him.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too. Yeah, that's good, too. Do you watch The View? Sonny Hostin, adjective first name.
No, I'm not, I don't watch
I'm
The
working
View.
Working during the day.
I'm not. You would not call me a fan of The View, but then again, I don't really have a chance to watch it. But I see enough of the clips every once in a while. Who else?
I'm going to give you one more, this is a personal one. Ernest Shackleton is the Knighted Polar Explorer and leader of the greatest all-time true story of human survival ever, Ernest Shackleton. Are you familiar at all with his
No, but I'm interested. Was it in Andes Mountains, you know, eating remains and flesh from other humans, cannibalization kind of survival story, or what?
You're not that far off. It's 1912. Shackleton is a polar explorer, and he brings his ship into, and he's trying to be the first explorer to ever go from one side of the Antarctic to the other side. So that's his goal. He brings his ship to into the Antarctic, but it's an early freeze, and the ship gets stuck in ice for 2 years in 1910 with a crew of, I think, 27 people. And it's the Antarctic. They don't have 2 years worth of supplies. And they ultimately are able to stay there for 2 years, but eventually the ship gets crushed by the ice, and now they're stuck. And Shackleton, with everybody alive, has to try to get from the Antarctic to Elephant Island, like 800 miles away, through bitter, bitter cold on lifeboats that they're rowing 800 miles on, people that have been surviving on, like, seal blubber for 2 years. And it's a crazy, crazy story of human survival. And it's Sir Ernest Shackleton, knighted polar explorer. Nobody knows the story, and it is amazing.
Is there a book? Is there a movie?
There is a book and a movie. The National Geographic just put out a documentary called Endurance, which is the name of his ship. And because they just found the ship, it took almost 100 years for anybody to be able to find the ship.
And how many survived?
All of them. And I didn't even tell you the hardest part of it, which is insane. They finally get to land, and everybody's just barely, barely alive. And they get to land, and they're on the wrong side of a absolutely enormous mountain range. And so three of them, including Sir Ernest Shackleton, and they're all on the verge of death. They spend like 5-6 days trying to go over the mountains to ultimately get to the southernmost point of civilization in the world. And against all odds, every single person lived. It is the torture they went through as a group is unimaginable, and I'm not doing it justice. It's an absolutely great story.
Wow. Love those stories.
Sir Ernest Shackleton.
You have me.
Yeah.
I just wrote down Ernest Shackleton's name, and I'm going to look for the book or the movie. I would love to see it. That is, in 1912, would just love to see how they passed the time and what they were eating to stay alive and how they were melting ice to stay alive. And all
which
of that
they were doing. Yep. It's a crazy story. The other thing I'll mention is it worked out really well. They had one of the earliest film devices. They actually have video from that time, because the plan was that they were going to take video of all this stuff in the Antarctic and then put it into movie theaters back then, because nobody had ever seen a seal before or a penguin before, right? And so, I mean, this stuff was like all novel and new. So they actually had a movie camera on board. And so much, you get to see like real, real snippets of video with real people and the real men who survived it.
And you think the video is sincere, Ernest?
I do think it is sincere.
All right. Back to football.
Back to your game. So you're going to walk into a matchup against the Saints offense with seven people on IR just from the offense. I would challenge any of your listeners to name the starting wide receivers your team will be facing in this matchup.
Well, they do split Alvin Kamara out there, as a wide receiver often, but I know that Valdez-Scantling was added recently and has been pretty productive. Is he hurt now?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, he's actually upright on this one. Your other receivers are Cedric Wilson.
Uh-huh.
The much-traveled Cedric Wilson.
Right.
And somebody called Kevin Austin, who I honestly do this for a living. I can't tell you anything about Kevin Austin at all.
Right.
So I feel like if I'm the Commanders, I just do whatever it takes to take Alvin Kamara away and make Jake Haener throw to Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Exactly.
I mean, whatever it takes to stop Alvin Kamara.
I can't imagine the box isn't heavy this week with Jake. Spencer, go ahead. Do your sincere best to try to beat us with your arm.
That's right.
And let's see how that works. What about Washington offensively against New Orleans?
Well, I like everybody, basically. It's going to be, you know, this is a New Orleans defense that has struggled a lot. And by the way, interesting timing on the Marshawn Lattimore availability, right?
Right.
Against his own team, his old team, yeah. This is it's a Saints defense that has struggled all season long. And even in ways that they didn't struggle before, they were good against the pass for a long time. But Paulson Adebo on IR and now losing Lattimore, it's just the whole thing's a wreck. So I'm starting all of them. I've got very high grades on all of my Commanders. I think Jaden Daniels is at 3. I think Robinson's at like running my highest running back ranking of the year. It's like running back 9 for a guy who doesn't catch. That's, you know, that's pretty high optimism right there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're going to be facing two former players, John Ridgeway, who you don't know, but Chase Young has actually had some moments in New Orleans this year. A little bit. All right,
yeah.
Your team last week, I mean, all of a sudden, Sam Darnold's not throwing it to the other team, not fumbling, not holding on to it too long. Jefferson and Addison, yeah. 5 combined touchdown passes. And look, they've proven me wrong. I thought they were clearly 3rd in that division behind Green Bay and Detroit. And now you have to give them a shot to win the division, Charge, because of what Detroit faces schedule-wise starting this Sunday.
Yeah.
So they play the Bears. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, I interrupted you. Sorry about that. The schedule does turn much harder for the Lions, including a forthcoming game with Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's this week. And, you know, if Detroit takes a loss to Buffalo, now the Vikings and the Lions are tied by record, and they face each other in Week 18. So it could turn into a Week 18 for the division and potentially even the number one seed if the Vikings can win out. And the Vikings' schedule is a bit easier than the Lions. I think the Vikings will be favored in every game except that Week 18 game where they travel to Detroit. So there's still a scenario here where the Vikings could get the number one seed.
I mean, Jefferson and Addison after last week, I mean, what a combination in terms of what their numbers were. Is the matchup against Chicago, if you've got both of them, you're starting them, clearly.
You're starting both. In fact, Jordan Addison, over the past 5 weeks, is wide receiver 4 in fantasy football scoring. I mean, it's, you know, what teams have done is they basically every team is just like, well, we're going to take Justin Jefferson away. And now Addison has become good enough in his sophomore season, where he's just beating single coverage and he's open a lot, and Sam Darnold's just dealing right now and he's finding Addison. And, you know, they face Chicago this week. They played Chicago 3 weeks ago. It was a 57-point overtime thriller in that game, and Addison put up 162 yards and a touchdown. So, yeah, you're starting both of those guys for sure, Jefferson and Addison. And
if the Vikings have to run the football in the postseason, can they?
No, they can't. It's been the running game has been very inconsistent, and sometimes downright bad, frustrating. And I don't think the Vikings are going to be able to get a, like, in it, the way you phrase it. If they have to run, I don't trust them to be able to run, especially not against playoff caliber teams. And that's going to be, that's one of the things you'll have to watch for it with Minnesota's if they do have draw one of those kinds of matchups.
Their defense is awesome. I know Atlanta had, you know, basically 500 yards, but they still got, you know, 2 turnovers. They got that huge special teams turnover in a 21-21 game or 28-21 game. I mean, I think the KOC Brian Flores combo has been, you know, lights out. And I mean, I'm wondering if Flores gets an opportunity. What's the talk there? Do you think he will or not?
Well, yeah, we debate this here a lot. And at this time last year, there was a lot of concern that we'd lose Brian Flores, defensive coordinator, to a head coaching job. He didn't get a single interview. And the prevailing theory is he's still got a lawsuit out there with the Dolphins. And that there are teams many teams that are just like, we don't want to hire a coach who has already sued one former team. So that might be enough of a problem where teams aren't gonna look at Brian Flores, but I think he's requisite of a head coaching job based on what he's done through two seasons here in Minnesota.
All right, great job. Enjoy the weekend. I'll talk to you next week. Can't believe it's week 15 already.
Shackleton.
We got fantasy football playoff games going on. Amazing.
Yes, it's that time. Winning in. Well, not winning in. Now, win to stay alive. We'll get you to
the semi here. Thanks,
talk to you next week, my friend. Bye-bye.
Yep, appreciate it. We're going to talk to Ken Rogers. He's done this 30 for 30 documentary on the Jet defensive line from the 80s. It airs tomorrow night. I said it was tonight. Dwight thinks it's Thursday, so let's just go with that. Thinks it's Friday. Let's just go with that, even though it's Thursday. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team 980.com.